Today's podcast is the audio from a presentation that I gave for neurodivergent women who experience burnout, anxiety, and chronic illness. It's entitled How to Be Weird and Well. If you're interested in watching the free webinar or in downloading the transcription of the webinar, there is a link down below. Hello and welcome to How to Be Weird and Well by me, Elizabeth LaForest. If you're wondering if you're in the right place, this is for women who live in the Venn diagram of neurodivergence, trauma, and chronic illness. In my experience, there is almost 100% overlap between neurodivergence and trauma, and also a very, very high overlap between neurodivergence and some form of chronic illness, which we're going to talk about today so you can understand why that might be happening. And the three of these, neurodivergence, trauma, and chronic illness, are interconnected. And being neurodivergent isn't just about your brain. It's also about your body and the way that you experience the world around you. So I teach holistic wellness that centers somatic wisdom and nervous system health. In my experience, many of the things that we associate with being neurodivergent or neurodiverse are actually because of trauma and autonomic nervous system dysfunction. And so people say that you can heal being neurodivergent. I don't support that. I don't agree with that in any way, shape, or form. I do, however, believe that when you heal your autonomic nervous system dysfunction and your trauma, that it doesn't make you less neurodivergent. It just gives you the freedom and support to be the fullest expression of your neurodivergent self. But because the way that neurodivergence is currently diagnosed and perceived externally by people who are outside of you, then they will see a decrease, and you will also see a decrease in many of the symptoms that currently are associated with being neurodivergent. So if we look at this list, I have a list of some signs and symptoms of autonomic nervous system dysfunction. And this is not a complete list. There are way more than this. But this is a pretty long list. And you'll notice that on this list, there are a few things that are just automatically associated with being neurodivergent, like executive functioning issues, or maybe mood swings, maybe addiction to substances, shopping, phone, TV, love, etc. There's also the long-term anxiety, long-term depression, living in survival mode, chronic pain, full body pain, numbness, fatigue, forgetfulness, sensory sensitivity, lack of boundaries, procrastination. So you can see that some of these things are very heavily associated with being neurodivergent when in fact what's actually happening is an autonomic nervous system dysfunction. So who am I? How do I know what I'm talking about here? I am an ADHD, highly sensitive eldest daughter. And I had my own health crisis. I was bedridden for 2 years with severe burnout, ME/CFS, which is chronic fatigue syndrome, and POTS. And I have recovered from that. I also have almost a decade of experience in the coaching industry, where I have learned to translate mainstream and not so mainstream techniques into actual results for neurodivergent humans. And my coaching experience actually started in health coaching and then moved into creativity coaching and then moved into performance coaching and then executive functioning coaching before I circled back around to health and wellness coaching specifically for neurodivergent people because, you know, the ADHD and the many, many interests. I also live in an old train station that's been turned into a house with my very typical cat and my neurodivergent 10-year-old. And the reason that I have created this and the reason that I do the work that I do is because I strongly believe that our world needs neurodivergent women who are healthy and confidently creating a new reality. Our reality is ready to be shifted. It's ready to transform into something that is beautiful and new and supportive and open. And I really fully believe that neurodivergent women are the women, are the people who are meant to and have that ability to spearhead that change, that shift. And right now, so many of us are just exhausted, just trying to survive, just trying to get through the day. And that keeps us from having the bandwidth and the confidence and the health to be able to make those moves, to make those changes, even in our own lives. It starts in your own life, and then it ripples out into the lives of others, and it changes the world. So whether or not you choose to work with me, I hope that this helps you to start shaping a map for your own healing and recovery journey so that you aren't living in survival mode all the time, so that you can become the fullest expression of yourself and have that impact on the world that only you can make. If you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's a pyramid that you can Google that is in psychology, and it talks about how you need to meet certain foundational needs before you can meet the needs above it, or before you can pursue or make changes in that way. And it starts with physiological needs. So physiological would be like eating and hydrating and sleep. And then it moves on to safety needs, then social, then self-esteem, and then self-actualization. And in my experience, I think that this is a great place to start in understanding what's going on within your psyche and within your body. However, I think it needs a few updates. So the first update that I would make is that self-actualization is something that happens at every stage. So the way the pyramid is traditionally set up, self-actualization is at the top. Each of these different levels is like clearly separated from the next one. And in my experience, self-actualization is something that happens at every stage, right? You eat to be alive, to fuel yourself, and that's a part of self-actualization, right? Being alive is a part of who you are. I do believe that as you move through these different levels of having your needs met, that it expands your bandwidth and your capacity for deeper or more expansive self-actualization. The other update that I would make is that it's a little bit more, it's not as linear as it looks. Right? It seems like, oh, well, once I meet my physiological needs, then I move on to safety needs, then I move on to social needs. And the fact is that there's a lot of overlap in that sometimes your physiological needs and your safety needs are intertwined. And also, you're going to cycle through these things every day, right? So if you go too long without eating, then you have a physiological need that is now interfering with your ability to pursue and meet safety, social, self-esteem, other needs. And so recognizing that this isn't something that you achieve or accomplish or that you can win at, it's something that you develop an awareness and an understanding so that you can be continually checking in with yourself of, oh, do I have physiological needs that aren't met? Do I have safety needs that aren't met? And many neurodivergent humans actually get stuck in those bottom two levels of physiological and safety because they struggle to meet their body needs. So eating, sleeping, hydrating, right? If you are forgetting to eat all day, if you're having trouble getting enough sleep, if you drink a half of a glass of water each day, then your physiological needs are not getting met. And also because your nervous system has been overactive for decades. Your nervous system has been so inundated that you are constantly in a place of not feeling safe within your own body. And so if you're struggling to meet your basic body needs, like going to the bathroom, or to feel safe in your body, in your environment, in the world around you, then of course that's going to have an impact on your ability to meet your social needs. A lot of, you know, like one of the things that we look at in neurodivergent people, according to people who diagnose, according to general knowledge and understanding, is that, oh, they struggle to socialize, they struggle to be social or to make or to keep friends, that kind of thing. I think a lot of that actually comes down to the fact that you might not have the bandwidth to socialize, right? You might not feel safe enough to socialize. You might actually need to eat and sleep and hydrate instead of socializing. And that those things are using up so many of your spoons just to try and survive, that there's not a lot left over for socializing. There's not a lot left over for the amount of self-awareness that goes into socializing, or the amount of executive functioning that goes into finding and maintaining friends. So I find that once the physiological and safety needs are actually being consistently met in a sustainable way, that most neurodivergent humans are much more able and willing and interested in developing a network, developing a community. And the way that I approach wellness is that it encompasses all of the different areas of your life. It's not just your physical health. It includes all of the areas that you could consider wellness. So spiritual wellness, relationship wellness, emotional wellness, mental wellness, physical wellness. And it starts with the foundation of meeting your body needs and nervous system healing. True health comes from being your true self. And in order to be your true self, you need to be able to meet those needs. Something that I talk a lot about with my clients that's gained a lot more awareness within the community recently is the brain-body disconnect. And there's an awareness that this is happening, that a lot of neurodivergent people experience this brain-body disconnect. There's not as much talk about why that is or what's actually involved in that. And the brain-body disconnect starts with feeling unsafe and overwhelmed in your body. And this often starts when you're very young, sometimes too young to remember it. And it can happen either because you are actually unsafe, you are in an unsafe situation, or your body is being harmed by other people. It can happen because the sensory world around you is just so much that it's hard for you to process, and nobody's teaching you how to process, how to understand, how to integrate what you're experiencing. And so it's just completely overwhelming and triggering your nervous system reaction, and you feel unsafe. So what do? You retreat to your mind, which gives you this feeling of safety, and it gives you a false sense of control over things. Your mind is so much more logical, so much less messy. It's so much more fun to be in your mind and have your own world in there. And things make more sense. When what's happening in your body doesn't make sense, it's normal to retreat to your mind where you can try to make sense of things. But when you do that, you lose the fluency of your body's language. So if you look at a baby or a toddler, their body is constantly talking to them and telling them, and they're learning this language of, oh, when I feel this, this is what it means. When I have this sensation under my hand, that means that I'm touching a blanket. When I feel this twistiness in my tummy, that means I'm hungry. And so you have very specific language that your body speaks to you in. And when you disconnect in that way, when you retreat into your mind, over time, you lose the ability to hear and understand and respond to the cues and the language that your body is using, including your innate wisdom. And as this continues, then emotions and pain and discomfort build up and they trigger chronic nervous system responses. And your nervous system, your autonomic nervous system specifically, is not meant to be constantly activated. It's only meant to be activated in short bursts, right? So if you think way back to like caveman type times, when you had a saber-toothed tiger that was chasing you, then your autonomic nervous system would kick on and give you fight or flight so that you could run and get away from the threat, and then it would kick off and you would be fine and you would be relaxed and you would go about your day because you would be in a state of safety. When your autonomic nervous system is continually overactivated for years and even decades, then it starts to create other issues, including a shrunken nervous system capacity and that struggle to hear and respond to body needs like we talked about. So this means that you have a reduced tolerance for stress and discomfort, as well as a reduced tolerance for joy and peace and feeling good. It also means that you struggle with things like sleeping, breathing, hydrating, eating, needing to go to the bathroom, until your body is like yelling at you. So if you imagine that your body starts out with just a gentle nudge and then a whisper, and then it uses a regular voice, and then it gets a little bit more panicked, and then eventually the need is so great that it's screaming at you. And a lot of neurodivergent people that I've worked with can only recognize their body need when it's screaming at them, when they're so hungry they're about to pass out, right? And this has a knock-on effect, a cascade effect, with your other body systems. And they start to struggle, and they start to have issues, which then knocks onto other body systems. And it creates negative feedback loops where, for example, if you get too hot, that it triggers your nervous system, because your nervous system now has a very low capacity. And so many, many things that would not be triggering to a healthy nervous system are triggering your nervous system. And so when you start to get hot, you have a fight or flight response, right? And you overheat or you pass out, something like that. And it creates these negative feedback loops. And then you have a fear of overheating and going out in the sun. And that fear then can do the same thing. That fear can create that nervous system response. It can be a trigger of that nervous system response. And when you get into this state where you have these feedback loops and you have these different systems that are being impacted, then you get chronic illness. Either you get chronic illness, because a lot of the chronic illnesses within our community are actually autonomic nervous system dysfunction-based chronic illnesses, or if you have a chronic illness that is not based in the autonomic nervous system, it gets exacerbated. It gets significantly worse. Some of the other body systems that are commonly affected in this pathway, in this kind of road that we go down, is the lymphatic system, the immune system, the muscular system, the central nervous system, which deals with sensory and coordination, the circulatory system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, and the endocrine system, so hormones. A nervous system-based holistic approach, which is how I work with my clients, it allows healing in all the parts of the body and mind. It focuses on the cause, which is the autonomic nervous system dysfunction, and not just the symptoms. Whereas a lot of approaches, including our modern medicine, look at the symptoms. and they isolate, oh, we're going to work on the respiratory system or the endocrine system, or we're going to do this over here, or we're going to do that over there. They focus in on one thing that's actually a symptom because they think it's the cause. When in reality, what's happening is it all comes back to the autonomic nervous system. As you are healing, you need to take into consideration and be also healing those other systems that have taken damage through this process. But ultimately, as you heal your autonomic nervous system, it's going to have another cascade effect of helping to heal and recover all of those other things and significantly reduce, if not eliminate, a lot of those symptoms that we talked about. So some quotes from past clients who have been where you are. I've been where you are. They've been where you are. And I just wanted to share some quotes from you so that you know that this doesn't have to be it. This does not have to be the end-all be-all for you. So one is, I'm a new person, I'm brave, my anxiety is gone, I'm a very fun person again, and every day of my life is an adventure. I know that when I was bedridden, I couldn't even imagine feeling like that at some point, but having anxiety either significantly reduce or disappear has been a very common experience for my clients, whether it's generalized anxiety, social anxiety. A lot of that comes back to the autonomic nervous system. Another quote is, definitely worth it. It might feel hopeless where you're at and hard to see how things can improve, but this really helped me and I feel so, so, so much better. And another one, I worked with Elizabeth during a time of autistic burnout and chronic illness, and she met me where I'm at. I learned how to listen to, support, and honor my body needs. I know that for me, when I was bedridden, when I was super, super sick, I couldn't even spend time with my son because I was so overwhelmed by sensory things. And the most amount of exercise that I could do was going to the bathroom a few times a day, which was like 15 feet away from my bed. I was in my bed all day, every day. And I would go to the bathroom 15 feet away. And it was so taxing for my body that I would almost pass out every time, that I would lose my vision and I would need to sit down before I passed out. It was intense. And there weren't a lot of answers or explanations. And it took a lot of medical gaslighting. It took a lot of research. It took a lot of trial and error for me to learn what was going on and how I could heal and recover from it. And thankfully, my autistic self is great with pattern recognition. And so I absorbed all of this information and I tried these different things and I found these patterns, which I was then able to use to heal. And then I was able to learn how to apply them to my clients so that they also could heal. And it makes an enormous difference. So the general path to recovery and true sustainable health has several parts. And again, these parts are going to be, there's going to be a little bit of overlap. It's going to be a process of like working your way through them and then recognizing where you're at, because there is no such thing as a linear journey to recovery or health. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows, but you're going to keep moving in the right direction if you are following this kind of outline. So it's identify and reduce the triggers that are in your environment and your mind. Learn to hear and meet your body's needs in a relaxed and gentle way. Increase your nervous system's tolerance for peace, joy, pleasure, and feeling good. Process, integrate, reframe, and release the stored emotions, trauma, and stories that keep you stuck. And then intentionally shape your life according to your needs, desires, and body's wisdom. And when I work with clients, I have clients all across the spectrum, no pun intended, of this path, working with clients who are all the way from barely functioning and working on those 101, those foundational things like learning to hear and meet your body needs, all the way up to the intentionally shaping your life, which is reflected in my one-on-one program, Sacred Creatrix, where we really focus on creating your life in the most authentic, fullest expression of yourself. So I have clients who are doing things like buying their first house, writing their first book, building a network and community of people who genuinely like and appreciate them and care for them, and starting a new business or switching careers. All of these things are things that a lot of them didn't have the bandwidth for when we started together, because you need to have that foundational wellness in place and that foundational awareness of who you are, what your needs are, how your body's talking to you, and a customized kind of way of moving through the world that's right for you. And so that's the foundational work that I do. In response to this information, this is a lot of information. This is a big paradigm shift. I'm really proud of you for just being here, for listening, to checking in with your body about how this is feeling and how this applies to you. That in and of itself is a huge commitment to yourself and your wellness. And I just want to say I'm proud of you for being here and committing to yourself in that way. Right now, you might be feeling determined or disheartened. You might be feeling angry. You might be feeling relieved. And I just want to say that your response, whatever it is 100% valid. This is a lot of information and people respond to it in different ways. So I have like my determined clients. I felt all of these at some point in the journey. And I'm very much in that determined kind of camp. And that, okay, cool, now I know what's going on, I'm going to do it. What do I do? Give me the 1, 2, 3s. I'm committing. This is going to happen. Then there's like the disheartened, right? Where like, this is a lot. And if you are already feeling overwhelmed and sick and in a place where you don't have a lot of bandwidth, it can feel almost unattainable. It can feel almost like it's too much. And that's part of the reason that it's so important to go at the pace that's right for your body and to celebrate every little victory along the way. You might be feeling angry because modern medicine, because society, because how long have you been struggling with these things without answers? And then now you have answers, but there's a lot of grieving and a lot of anger that might be coming up for you. Or maybe you feel relieved because you finally know what's going on. And oh my gosh, everything finally makes sense. Whatever you're feeling is totally fine, totally valid. Thank you for being here. I welcome you to be present with whatever it is you're experiencing. The next question that I often get is, how long does recovery take? And this is a really tricky question to answer because each brain and body is different. Where you are in your journey, where you are in what you need, where you are in the cascade effect is going to significantly impact how long your recovery is going to take. So it might be a situation where I had one client who was very, very early in burnout stages. She was young, she had energy, and she took 6 months. And that is probably the fastest recovery that I've ever worked with. It took her 6 months to go from where she was at when we met to feeling back to almost 100%, right? For most clients that I work with, we're looking at a timeline of like 12 to 18 months. I would say most people kind of fall into that range. If you are in a place like I was, where you are very burnt out, experiencing significant chronic illness, very low energy, very low bandwidth for doing the things, or if you're in a situation that is counterintuitive or counter to your healing journey that's working against you, then you might be looking at more like 24 months or more. And so knowing that this could be a long journey, that it is going to be a long journey, it's important to recognize that it's not about how fast you go. It is not a race. If you try to race, if you try to make it about achievement, if you try to make it about as fast as you can, you're going to end up right back where you are right now. Your body has to set the pace. And through this process, through this journey, you develop a relationship of trust and mutual understanding and connection with your body. And that takes time. And your body is going to tell you, this is going too fast, or it's going to tell you, okay, I'm ready for the next step. And learning to hear and respond to your body when it's giving you that information is vital in order for you to make sustainable progress, because that's the goal. The goal isn't to get you healthy for a few weeks or for a few months and then to go back into the cycle and crash and have a flare up and all. That's not the goal. The goal is sustainable health, a completely different way of living and existing and experiencing the world that's body-led and brain-supported. So some more quotes from past clients to kind of give you that hope and that light at the end of the tunnel so that you're not feeling maybe quite as overwhelmed about how long it might take. I feel very proud of myself. I'm happy to be in my skin again. I want to thank you so much. You have given me so much help and support. A lot of things changed incrementally over this last year and added up to major changes. And that's the idea, is it's going to feel, in some ways it feels like it goes really fast. In other ways, it feels like it's going really slow, especially if you're like that determined, I'm going to do this. This is going to happen. We're going to figure this out kind of mentality. I've witnessed tremendous growth in myself during my time working with Elizabeth. I felt consistently validated, seen, heard, and supported. And I just want to wrap by sharing that the definition of freedom to me is being healthy enough to live your most authentic life, a life that is body-led and brain supported. And that freedom can feel very elusive if you're currently in a place where you are feeling trapped, where you are feeling unwell, where you're feeling exhausted, where every ounce of your bandwidth is going towards just trying to maintain the status quo or just trying to get through the day. It can feel very difficult to picture and hold on to that. And this is another thing about neurodivergent people is that the way our brains work, what we are currently experiencing as our reality feels so much more concrete than whatever our past reality was and whatever our future reality might be, that it can be difficult for us to imagine with our brains what a better future might look like. It can be hard for us to kind of believe in that because we are so engulfed in what we are currently experiencing. And the same thing goes for the other way, where if you're feeling really, really good, it can be hard for you to imagine a future where that's not the case. And so I want you to, one, rely on the people who have gone before you, the people who have gone down this healing recovery path, the neurodivergent women who have made amazing changes in their health, in their wellness, in their lives through this process, and rely on that hope. And the other thing that I find really helpful, because again, I'm very somatic based in my work, is if you can just take a few minutes and close your eyes and allow your body to remember a time, whether it was just for a moment or whether it was when you were younger, remember a moment in your body where you felt really good, where you felt powerful, where you felt like anything was possible. And just spend a little bit of time allowing your body to remember what that feels like. What are those sensations? And lean into that, because that is completely possible for you. And so many of my clients, after we've worked together for, you know, a year or so, they look back at where they were when we started working together, and it's unrecognizable. Even though we go slow, because it's so important to go much slower than you think you need to go. And that's tangent. That's like one big thing that I have seen in the coaching industry that's different for neurodivergent people, is that neurotypical coaches and neurotypical coaching advice is going to tell you to push. It's going to tell you to go harder. It's going to tell you to go faster. It's going to tell you all of these things that are actually very, very much the opposite of what you need to actually heal and recover and to be able to create the life that you want to create. So slow down, breathe into that feeling in your body of that moment where you felt safe and confident and powerful, and trust that that can be your norm. That can be the baseline. Whereas right now the baseline is surviving, what if your baseline was that feeling? I want to thank you for your time. I know that giving me your attention and your energy for this a little bit over half hour is very generous, because you have a lot of things that are claiming that and calling for that. And I want to thank you for taking this information and gleaning or sifting to hold on to the things that stand out to you the most, that feel the most important to you. And I would love if you wanted to email me. My email is elizabethlaforest@gmail.com. If you want to email me your takeaways, I would love to hear them. It helps when you go through something like this and you experience a shift. It helps to write down what it was that you experienced, because it reinforces it in your body and in your brain. So like, even if you don't send it to me, write down your key takeaways, write down the things that stood out to you the most, that felt like they applied to you the most. And if you want to email me, I would love to hear from you. I hope you have an amazing day, and I look forward to hearing from you at some point, or not. No pressure. And I just want to end by saying that you deserve support, and you deserve wellness, and you deserve to feel comfortable and safe and excited and peaceful and joyful and all of those things in your body and in your life, and that all of those things are possible for you. Thank you so much for coming.